Now, if you were listening this time last week, you probably heard our interview with Michael Rodriguez. He's the Managing Director of Time Out Australia and Chair of the Nighttime Industries Association. Now, Michael and the Nighttime Industries Association have been working on a holistic strategy to restore and strengthen our nighttime economy and creative industries that goes far beyond simply agitating for a repeal on the lockout laws because God knows this city needs it. Well, since last week, there have been a few crucial developments that we thought we'd unpack for you here. So helping us with that, Michael is back. Michael Rodriguez is in the hot seat. And thanks so much for chatting to us this morning.
Thanks, Jess. Thanks for having me back.
So it's been a hell of a week. Give me the dot point rundown. What has gone on over the last week?
Yeah, it's a bit of a week of what happened and what didn't happen. So I think the first thing that happened was that the release of the Music and Arts Inquiry report came out, and that contains quite a bit of, I think, positive news if you run a venue in Sydney or if you have an interest in the live music scene. So that was a good thing, and we talked about that a bit. What didn't happen was that the lockout bill didn't get up for debate. So there's quite a bit of government business on at the moment, and so that has been deferred. So and that has been deferred until Thursday next week, or Thursday this week, yeah, but it may not get up again. But the Music and Arts Inquiry is the interesting thing that I think got a bit lost in all the noise of last week, so we can chat about that if you like.
Yeah, so for people who might not have heard of this, because it did very much get, I feel, lost in the avalanche of everything else, what's that about? What were some of the recommendations?
Yeah, so it has been the single biggest inquiry in the term of this government, that's the first thing to say. And it sort of, I think, evinces that there is a lot of people who have an interest in this and decided to get active, which I can only encourage on all fronts. We need a lot of effort here. So I'll give you the summary on the main findings. Some are, I think, more interesting than others, but there was four. So they recognised the massive potential for the contemporary music sector in New South Wales. That was the first. They also worked out that if New South Wales was to match Victorian funding for contemporary music per capita, it would require about $35 million over 4 years. Now, I think I was doing the maths. I think we're at about $700,000 a year in New South Wales, which turns out to be $2.8 million. So it's about more than 10 times the Victorians are spending on contemporary music. And so it's good that the government's come out and recognised that. And so that was second. They also found that there was nothing that suggested that music causes violence. Now, this sounds a bit ridiculous, but in the context of the state in which we live, I think it is a point that we had to have made. But I think the most positive thing that came out of the inquiry is that the government and recognised that we have a music venue crisis. And so that is on the record now. And I suppose it's the first step, isn't it, to recognise you have a problem before you can go about changing it. So they're the main findings. And I think that what that triggered was a quick announcement by government about trying to cut red tape. They're the four findings, and then the cutting of red tape. Do you want me to talk a little bit about the red tape?
Yeah,
cutting?
I was going to say the quick announcement.
A bit like the lockout bill. Sorry, the lockout when it was put in place, it was very hurriedly implemented. This quick announcement was to try and get rid of ridiculous conditions on liquor licences that are affecting many venues. So, as I said, we welcome that from government, but let's talk about the practicalities of that. So the practicality of when you apply to have a condition removed from your liquor licence is that your liquor licence then gets opened up to further scrutiny by police and community. So it's a bit of we're a bit unsure how that's actually going to happen. I think that a lot of venue owners are going to be very careful about applying to OLGA under this fee waiver scheme that they've come up. It's sort of like a 3 month, we'll waive the fees to apply. Yes, it's good that they've recognised that there's these ridiculous conditions. Yes, it's good that they're trying to do something about it, but the impact of it, I think, is going to be a bit measured. The other thing, which is a bit technical, is that a lot of these restrictive conditions are contained in people's DAs, not in their liquor licence. And so I think we've got to take it as a sign that there is ambition to do something, and then industry has to go in and say, yep, we know what you're trying to do, the way you need to do it is. And I suppose that's something that we'll take up with government in the coming weeks. So, but as I said, the key points are there was recognition that it was a venue crisis, and it's the first time really that since, you know, 2014, shall we say, that the government's actually put its hand up and said, yep, we need to do something about it.
And that's got to be a massive first step. I mean, it's a shame that the lockout law repeal bill didn't get up, but that is it sounds like quite a significant step in and of itself. So
yeah, well, I think so, because it's almost like there's two sides to this debate, right? And until you can find a common ground to start working towards a common goal, then, you know, you're just going to sit around arguing all the time. And I'm not giving up on sort of wider ranging reforms, and we talked about some of those things last time I was on, you know, wider investment in the creative industries and, like a one-stop noise shop for noise regulation. But at least we can start fixing venue by venue, hopefully. And, you know, with any sort of garden that you're trying to revitalise, that's what Sydney needs, right? It needs these little pockets that start coming back to life, and as it comes back to life, then people can start going out in those areas again. And, you know, we all know what the addition of just a good cafe or a nice bar or anything a retail to a street can make, or a community can make. You know, if you think back to what Enmore was like 5 years ago,
yeah,
in 5 years it's just been revitalized, you know, largely due to, I think, Mary's Burgers, but and I've had one or two of those. But yeah, I think that it is a positive first step, and we've got to take it as such, and try and enter a working dialogue with government now about how we go from here.
Do you think, or have you seen a lot of the deal? Do you think there's going to be a lot of pushback against moving forward in this direction? Because I feel like when you say the word lockout laws, it's just such a hot potato that immediately some people will shut down. But it kind of feels like this might be a secondary way of getting around the point.
Yeah, I think that and going back to the Music and Arts Inquiry, what they were keen to do was not overshadow the good work done in that by making it about lockout. It's such an emotive issue that, and it can, I think, disproportionately colour discussion of a problem. And that's what's unfortunately happened in the last few weeks by the shooter's bill, I guess. It's really just kind of put the defences up by police and paramedics, all of who we need to work with to get to a good workable solution. So, but again, just some of the conditions on these venues were really ridiculous. I mean, one of them was, I think, up in Tamworth, a prescription on which direction the band had to play, only facing south. I mean, you know, it's things like that.
Okay.
That had, you know, so well done, government, for spotting a few things that needed to be fixed. But, you know, you've got to start somewhere. And I think that venues are so important to the ecosystem for live music that if we can get some of these no DJs, no dancing, no rock music, you can have a duo, not a trio, all these kinds of, there's an appendix with 667 venues, I think, that are affected by what would some would describe as absurd conditions. And so, you know, I think it's a good start.
Well, we'll definitely take it for what it's worth. Michael, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, pleasure, Tess. Thanks again.
That was Michael Rodriguez. He's the Managing Director of Time Out Australia and Chair of the Nighttime Industries Association, having a chat with us about some of the recent government decisions concerning lockout laws, the nighttime economy and our creative industries, as well as the release of the report into the music and arts economy. A lot has happened this week. A lot has happened.